I invite you to Genesis chapter 32 tonight. Genesis chapter 32. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, we bow before you. And we thank you for the revelation we have of ourselves in the person of Jacob. We thank you, our God, for revealing truth to us in this way. And as we examine his life tonight, we pray that we may not simply just go over Scripture and remind people of things that they know, but may we take it to heart and realize that this is a reflection of our very own character and how you deal with men. Graciously, our Father, work in our lives. And as you called the churches of Asia Minor to repentance, call us to repentance tonight. May we hear thy voice. And may we, in turn, yield to thee, for you want to do nothing else than bless us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The man Jacob is a very illustrious character on the pages of the Word of God. God loved him. God saved him. God called him to himself. And God calls himself the God of Jacob over and over again in the Word of God. And that means that God is the God of electing love. He says, Jacob have I loved. And Jacob is a character in the Bible that becomes the illustration of the electing love of God. But God is also called the mighty God of Jacob in the Word of God. Jacob means a heel catcher. It really means deceitful. And all of us are Jacob. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is Jacob. The heart is deceitful above all things else. And desperately wicked. You see, Jacob was a pretty shrewd fellow. He lived by the adage, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That was Jacob. And you know, you remember how he swindled his brother Esau out of the birthright. Esau was hungry, and Jacob was making vegetable soup or something. Red pottage. And of course, Esau wanted some. He said, I'll sell it to you for the birthright. Now, the Word of God says Esau despised his birthright. He wasn't disciplined. He had no care for it, for the real value of it. But Jacob did. Jacob cared for the birthright. And then the worst thing probably that Jacob did, he listened to his mother. When his father was determined, being contrary to the will of God, to bless Esau instead of Jacob. Jacob pretended to his father that he was Esau and not Jacob. And that's mean. You see, the disguises we wear reveal more about us than if we went just as we are. And poor Jacob. He got the blessing. But the results that followed. He went away, had to leave home because Esau was going to kill him. And the first night away from home, Genesis chapter 28, the Lord appeared to him. And that place became a place of a vision. He saw the Lord. It became the place of the voice, for God spoke to him. And he made a vow there. And the vow that he made to God, God keeps reminding us of what we promise him. He went all the way to Paddan Aram, and there he lived in the house of Laban. And he married two of Laban's daughters, and he learned a tremendous lesson there. See, Jacob had no respect for the birthright. when he went to marry Rachel, who was the younger of the two girls, Laban taught him something about the birthright. You see, things come back. Things have a way of just coming back. And when Jacob went to see Laban the next day, he said, in this country, we don't give the younger before the elder. We respect the right of birthright, which Jacob didn't do back home. What a lesson. And now he's been away for quite a number of years until Joseph was born. And God appears to him in Padan Aram, and he said, I want you to go back to Bethel. That's where God met with him. That's where he heard the voice of God, and he saw the ladder that reached to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And he heard the voice of God. God says, I want you to go back to Bethel. And Jacob is on his way back. I believe Jacob was saved that night when he was away from home at Bethel, when he saw the vision and he heard the voice, and he made the vow. I believe that night he was saved. But like all of us, God is going to bring him to himself in genuine repentance. Grace reigns through righteousness. Our first hymn tonight was Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. And Jacob had been scheming all these years. And now he's on his way back. And Jacob learns in Genesis chapter 32 that Esau is coming to meet him. And he has 400 men with him. And Jacob begins to pray in verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He reminded God of his promises. He is not yet brought to repentance as a believer. As a believer, God is going to make him face his past sin. God does not condemn sin in the sinner and condone it in the saint. God is going to bring Jacob to repentance. So down to verse 24 we go, where we read, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Jacob is not the brook Jabbok. He had divided his household. He had put a big present for Esau ahead of all the congregation that was following Jacob out of Padan Aram. His servants, his wives, his children. And I want to have you think with me about three things tonight. God crippled Jacob in order that He might crown him. God bruised Jacob in order that He might bless him. And I want you to think with me of the place to which God brought Jacob. And we want to think of the purpose for which God bruised Jacob. And then finally, we want to think of the power with which God blessed Jacob. Our text here says, concerning the place to which God brought Jacob, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. That means He brought him to the place of human isolation. You see, God couldn't do much with Jacob in Laban's camp, in Laban's household, for Laban was the sister or the brother of his mother. And his mother was a schemer, and Laban was a past master as a schemer. So you have two schemers working against one another. And God didn't get the voice of Jacob there. He was too busy scheming. He was too busy figuring out what he's going to do. And God couldn't do much with Jacob while he schemed. And beloved, God brings us all to the place of human isolation. We are so busy. We have no time for God, but we have time for religious activity. We have time for business activity. We have time to be occupied with the material. And that's what Jacob was occupied with in Uncle Laban's compound. He was occupied with business. You know, it's interesting in the 15th of Luke. The prodigal son didn't turn for home until he was with him all alone by himself. And he began to consider and to think. God must bring us to an end of it ourselves, and the only way He can do it, He has to isolate us. He has to make us be alone with ourselves. Are you alone tonight? The place of human isolation. But it was more than that. It was not only the place of human isolation. It became the place of divine confrontation. Verse 24 says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This man, who I believe is none other than a pre-incarnate person of our blessed Lord Himself, I believe he wrestled with the Lord that night, or the Lord wrestled with Jacob. The man wrestled with Jacob, our text says. You see, God wants to bring us face to face with ourselves in order that He might bless us. Why does He do this? Because we're so carnally minded to the law of God, and we are insubordinate to the will of God, and we're fleeing from the blessing of God. That's what Jacob is doing. And we become fugitives as a people of God. We're running from this and from that and to this and to that, and we become fugitives from God, the place of divine confrontation. You see, he wrestled all night. He wrestled all night. The question could be asked, why did it take all night? It's like the student who came to Dr. Culbertson at Moody Bible Institute. As he and another professor were getting on the elevator, he said, "Dr. Culbertson, I wrestled in prayer all night and I got the victory this morning." After the student was gone, Dr. Culbertson said to his co-worker, he said, "It's too bad he didn't submit to the Lord last night. He could have had a good night's rest." Why did it take all night? Why does it take so long with us? Why does it take so long with us? You see, it took that long with Jacob to bring the schemer, the supplanter, the rogue, to an end of himself. Are you alone? You see, the man who will not come will ultimately be alone in the judgment. So the only thing I can say is you may as well come. You may as well let God take you and single you out and deal with you, because you're going to be alone sooner or later. And the sooner the better. Are you alone tonight? The place to which God brought Jacob. He brought him to the place of human isolation. And he brought him to the place of divine confrontation. But let's consider the purpose for which God bruised Jacob. He bruised him to crush his resistance. Everything that is out of accord with the will of God must be broken. God is conforming us to the image of Christ, and everything out of conformity to His will must be broken. If you were asked the question tonight and had to define what is a Christian or who is a Christian, how would you define it? I believe the third chapter of Philippians defines it for us. It says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh." That's the definition of a Christian. We are the circumcision. We are those who have been cut off by God, marked by God. And we worship God in the Spirit. And we have no confidence in the flesh. And God's bringing Jacob to the place where he crushes his resistance in the flesh. And he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. Now the hollow of the thigh is the place where man has strength to wrestle. And Jacob is a tenacious rascal. He wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. He wrestled all night. But when the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, his strength was gone. Let me ask you a question tonight. What's your strong point in the flesh? What is your strong point in the flesh? Is it a brilliant mind? Is it power to influence? Is it the ability to manipulate others to do what you want? Is it material wealth? Is it money? God knows how to crush resistance to himself. And the thing about Jacob, he carried the marks of this wrestling match to the end of his life. God crippled him in order that he might crown him. And I'll tell you, crown him he did. For when he gets to Egypt, and he is brought in before Pharaoh, the king, the scripture says, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. In other words, my Bible says, the less is blessed of the greater. That means as God looked on the scene, Jacob, the old man, the shepherd, who was despised by the Egyptians, was greater than the king who sat on the throne. The less is blessed, or the better. See, Jacob carried the marks of this wrestling match to the end of his days. God crushed his resistance. You know, I'm always amazed when I meet another believer who says, I'll never do that. And it can be in relationship to things in the Word of God. And whenever I hear it, I say to myself, God can bring them. He's the only one who can. Our God is able. God is able to crush resistance, friends. But he did it for a second reason. He not only had a purpose to crush his resistance, but to cause repentance. In the 12th chapter of Hosea, in the 4th verse, the prophet refers to this happening at Peniel. And he says there, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and he made supplication unto him. It's speaking of Jacob's power with God that night as he wrestled. And then when his resistance was crushed, he just hung to him. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And it's an amazing thing when you come to the New Testament. In those letters to the churches in Asia Minor, God's message to the churches in Asia Minor is a message of repent. He says, except you repent, except you repent, except you repent. It's a call to repentance. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It's an amazing thing. The first time you find that expression in the Word of God, it has to do with Jacob at Bethel, the place to which God says, go back to Bethel. Jacob said, after he heard the voice and saw the vision and made the vow, he said, this is none other than the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. And that's where God begins the judgment. God wants to crush his resistance. God wants to cause repentance. And then more than that, he wants him to claim reliance. Oh, and that's what he did. He said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me, in verse 26. I will not let you go. You see, Jacob has no more strength of his own. He's clinging. He's not wrestling. He's clinging. You see, the man that wrestled with him, none other than our blessed Lord in pre-incarnate form, it became the object of his total trust. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And God says to us in Romans 14 and verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Ah, to cause reliance. Lord, I need to rely upon you, and I need to rely upon your word in total submission to it. I will not let you go unless you bless me. So we have the place to which God brought Jacob. Are you alone tonight? Has God ever singled you out that you are alone in dealings with him? Here's the one person in the universe I cannot bypass. I may be able to fool quite a few people. Even as a Christian, we try it. Or how we try to put on a good front. And we can play act so easily. And Jacob was a past master at it. And God brought him where he was alone. And he had a purpose in it. He was going to bruise this man in order that he might bless him. So that brings us to the third point. The power with which God blessed Jacob. In verses 27 to 31, when Jacob said to the Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know what God said to him? He said, what's your name? Oh, how we hate to admit who we are in the presence of a holy God. God says, just tell me, what's your name? And he had to say, my name means I'm a deceitful person. I'm Jacob. I'm a rogue. I'm a cheat. I'm a schemer. I'm deceitful. That's what my name is. Reminds me of Romans chapter 7 where the apostle cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Even as a believer. And the picture there in Romans chapter 7 is a dead man strapped to your back. That was one of the methods of execution in the Roman Empire. They'd strap a dead man to the back of the man they were executing him and let him walk around like that until the decaying body ate his own body. And that's how God views the flesh, and we pamper it. We pamper it. There's in my flesh, Romans 7 verse 18, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, how we can pamper that flesh. How we can fight for it. Paul fought with it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? As George Matheson wrote, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ, who lives in me. See, it's no more Jacob. Once he was willing to admit who he was and what he was, God says, I'm changing your name. And in the Word of God, a change of name means a change of nature. Oh, there's no more Jacob, it's not Israel, there's a new life of authority. This is power through union with a living Christ. A life of authority. You're Israel, you are now a prince with God. There's not only the power of a new life, there's a power of a new love. He said, he named the place. He named the place Peniel. I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He could look back at the wasted years with all his scheming. All his scheming over the years. He could say, like a hymn writer put it, I've seen the face of Jesus. Tell me naught of else beside. I have seen the face of Jesus, and my soul is satisfied. This is the language of Jacob now. This is the explosive power of a new affection. Falling in love with the Lord Jesus all over again. You see, Jacob never lost the secret of this blessing. Oh, Jacob after this had his ups and his downs. But he never lost the power of this day. For God had brought him, and God had blessed him, and God had bruised him. But Jacob is a blessed man now. And the scripture says, the sun rose upon him as he went forward in the power of a new life and the power of a new love. But what did Jacob do in the next chapter? You know, we can have an experience with the Lord. And after that, we can have our ups and our downs just as well. He meets Esau, and what does he start to do? He starts to lie all over again. He gave up limping for lying. What a sad commentary. But you know, Jacob, he never lost the power of that meeting with the Lord. God bruised him. God brought him. God blessed him. And he was blessed indeed. Have you ever been alone with the Lord? Where God put you alone and you couldn't get out of the condition you had brought yourself? I've been there many a time. You can't move. And all you can do is submit. And what a blessing it is when we are brought to that place. God cripples us in order that He might crown us. God bruises us in order that He might bless us. And we can thank God that He is the God of Jacob. He is the mighty God of Jacob. He's my God. He brings us to that place, for it's the only place where He can get our ear and crush our resistance and bring us to repentance. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise You tonight that You are the mighty God of Jacob. We thank You that You saved Jacob's. You could say through Malachi the prophet, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And O God of our praise, we would take that place that Jacob took tonight. We would cry out from the heart to Thee, I will not let You go unless You bless me. O God our Father, crush our resistance. Bring us to repentance, and may we know the blessing of the Lord. We ask for this. Yea, Lord, when we read Thy word, we learn that there's no other way. We cannot avoid You. And we ask You to work in us for Thy glory, and for Thy praise, in Jesus' name, amen.